This evening I just want to share on our next lesser-known character. And this is probably the most well-known of the lesser-known characters. We're going to look at Simon of Cyrene. He was the one that helped Jesus bear the cross on the way to Calvary. And he occurs in the what's called the Synoptic Gospels. I'll just quickly, for the sake of completeness, give the references. Matthew 27:32, Mark 15, verse 21, and Luke 23, verse 26. And just to read it, the one in Matthew, that they're fairly similar. Matthew 27, verse 32, as they came out, that is Jesus and the soldiers, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. So that's the reference. And Simon, his name actually means listening, which of course we think of Simon Peter, listening. And Cyrene was a Greek city founded in about 600 BC, I think it was, in what is now sort of eastern Libya. So if you think of Libya, it's closer to Egypt than it would be to Tunisia. So we've got someone from Egypt here. And that's where he was from. And Cyrene is a derivation of the Greek word kurios, which means Lord. Now, obviously, as I've said before, you're going to have to grant me some little bit of license, but I'm hoping it's not beyond the realms of speculation what I'm going to say. He would have been a Jew, but more of a Hellenistic Jew in that he didn't live in Israel. And he would have come to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. I don't know how many times he would have been over his lifetime, but he was certainly here on this occasion. And what an incredible occasion it was for him. As I said, I don't know whether it's his first time in Jerusalem or whether he'd been before. But he had basically come to worship the God that he knew about. And he was perhaps moving around Jerusalem in between certain stages of the Passover feast. I'm not quite sure. Someone suggested he may have been doing some shopping to take home to his wife. I don't know. But suddenly he finds himself in a commotion. This would have been approximately between 8 and 9 in the morning. He wouldn't particularly have known about the trial of Jesus. He may have possibly have heard the name of Jesus. But he wouldn't have really known about the trial. Capital punishment was common, and Roman occupation was a fact of life. And then suddenly he's in the midst of this commotion, as there's a crowd sort of moving slowly in one direction. And he finds himself caught up in this. As I said, he may have heard of the name of Jesus, but people may have talked about this rabbi, this teacher, but he wouldn't have known what was about to happen that year. And suddenly, as he was passing by, you could say that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But as far as the Lord was concerned, he was in absolutely the right place at the right time. And he's sort of looking around him and seeing this crowd, this noise, this confusion. And he must have sort of said, you know, what's going on? And people would have said one thing and another. And then suddenly, as he realized there was a criminal on his way to execution, probably Simon would have thought, I've got to get out of here. You know, I shouldn't be here. I need to be doing something else. And as he's sort of wondering how to get out of this melee, he feels a hand upon his shoulder, a rough hand, a hard hand, but a hand of authority. And we don't know exactly what passed between Simon and the soldier, but it would have been, you'll do, you carry the cross, help this criminal carry the cross to Calvary. And of course, because it was a Roman soldier, he couldn't argue. He was, as it says in Matthew, he was compelled to do it. You couldn't have said, well, no, you've got the wrong man. It's not me. But he was selected. And he was made to carry the cross. Now, when we read the carrying of the cross in John, it doesn't mention Simon and Cyrene, but it just simply says that Jesus carried the cross. And again, this is a little bit of artistic license, if you like. I think Jesus was at the sort of front part of the cross, and where, you know, the two beams crossed. And because he was struggling and falling and under the weight and burden of it, I think that Simon was compelled to carry the hinder end, the rear end. And so they moved on. And he must have felt just awful, stumbling, staggering through the narrow, crowded, noisy streets. Simon suddenly became the unwilling centre of attention. He must have wished he was somewhere else. Along with Jesus, he would have borne the shame, the rude scoffing. Just think of, you know, the crowd. They're just all moving together. And he must have thought, I don't want to be here. This is not me. But he was there, and he couldn't get out of it. The whole journey from where Jesus was tried to Golgotha or Calvary would have been at the very most half a mile. I looked at a map of Jerusalem at that time. A few hundred yards. And it would have taken 30, maybe 40 minutes. Obviously, it was the crowd and Jesus was moving slowly. But for Simon, it must have seemed like hours. And he would have wished it was all over as soon as possible. He thought, I did not sign up for this at all. But there he was, carrying the cross of someone that he didn't know. Now, again, a little bit of license, please. At some point, Jesus must have realized that someone was at the other end, carrying that part of the cross. And although there's no record of this, and it's speculation, I know, I wonder whether Jesus turned round briefly to have a look at who this person was that was helping him bear and carry his cross to crucifixion and death. And at that moment when Jesus turned round, again, I think Jesus would have looked at Simon, and for a very brief moment, Simon would have looked at Jesus, and their looks would have exchanged. And I think at that point, I don't know what went in Simon's mind, his heart, but he looked for a brief moment as he was carrying the cross, he looked into the face of God. What did he see? He must have seen the most gentle, peaceful, loving visage, face you could possibly ever have looked upon. And I would like to think, again it's speculation, and that at that time when they exchanged looks and Simon saw something and realized something that he hadn't seen or realized before. That suddenly the shame of carrying the cross left. It was no longer a burden. I don't know how much he understood. Bear with me as a momentary look. They exchanged glances. Simon looked at Jesus, and despite the thorns, the wounds, the blood, the sweat, the dirt, he saw something in the face and in those eyes he had never seen before. And I think the carrying of the cross changed from shame to delight, from pain to joy, from being despised to sharing something of the glory of God. And when we have that kind of perspective, the cross is no longer an onerous task. It's not a labour. Oh, I've got to carry my cross. You know, I've got to grin and bear it. None of that. It depends upon our perspective. If all we see is just the shame and the burdensomeness of it, and the thing, the duty, oh, I've got to do it, I'm a Christian, we're missing the whole point. We've got to look at Christ. We've got to look at his face, his wonder, his glory, and all that he has done. And when we see that in the right perspective and in the right light, everything changes. Everything. And this is what it would have been like for Simon. It was no longer an unwilling duty, but it changed into something wonderful, privileged, and joyful. To share with the cross with Christ would have been to him the greatest honour that he ever had. We have our own crosses to bear, but he knows. And it's like, I know when Jesus said, if any man take up his cross, I know that. But he was the original cross bearer. And Simon was there to take part of it. Take part with it. So whether we're rejected, despised, mocked, misunderstood, spoken ill of, whether we've lost friends, or even family doesn't understand us, whether our finances take a downturn, or whether reputation, health, or the health of someone dear to us, whether any of those things go, when we look at Christ, it's a cross that we're happy to bear. So what happened next? Well, at some point they would have got very close to Calvary, and some soldier would have elbowed Simon out the way and said, right, you've done your bit. And they would have taken the cross, sort of seen Jesus collapse on the ground, and then put the cross in its socket and lifted it up. Well, they would have put Jesus on it, and then they would somehow lifted the cross into the socket, and there Jesus would have hung. And Simon's work in that sense was finished. But was it finished? Let's look into Mark. He gives us just a little bit of, tiny little bit of extra information here. Mark chapter 15. They compel one Simon. That's verse 21 this is. They compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country. So here was a man almost like a tourist. As I said, he was in Jerusalem for a totally different purpose. But he goes on to say that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Why put that in? You know, is Mark, and people think that it was Peter who dictated to Mark. That may be the case. So why talk about his family like this? Why talk about Simon's family like this? Alexander and Rufus. Well, I think there was a reason for that. And if we go into Romans chapter 16. not going to be long. Chapter 16, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and there's loads and loads of greetings. But listen to this. Verse 13, greet Rufus. There he is. Same man? Probably. Chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. So it's not only reference to one of Simon's sons, there's also reference to Simon's wife, the mother of Rufus. Now bear in mind, they came from Cyrene. I wonder what happened after Jesus was crucified and Simon was sort of melted into the crowd and must have thought, what was all that about? But he saw something, and that something never left him. It's very possible that he may have stayed on for another 50 days and attended the Feast of Pentecost, because it says that when they were speaking in tongues, it talks about people, languages of people that came from Cyrene. It's possible that Simon was still there. What happened after that, or what happened after Jesus' crucifixion? I think he went back to his home. He would have met his wife, his two sons, and maybe other children as well, and the whole household. And he says, I've got to tell you something. Because they would have asked, you know, how was the trip? What happened? Who did you meet? What were people wearing? You know, that sort of thing. And he said, I need to tell you what happened. There was a certain day I was in Jerusalem, and I was minding my own business, and suddenly I was thrust into a position I did not want to be, and I ended up carrying the cross of a criminal. But when I looked at his face and he looked at me, something happened. Something deep happened in my soul. And I want to tell you this. And as he began to explain more and more, and if he did stay on to Pentecost, and maybe he stayed for a week or two with the early church and would have heard something of the apostles' doctrine, maybe he was one of the 3,000 that responded. And he understood something of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the giving of the Spirit, the whole glorious truth of an inheritance in heaven and forgiveness of sins. He would have shared this with his family and his household. And then at some point, one of his sons would have gone to Rome and taken his mother with him. And they would have joined the church at Rome. And Paul, when he heard later, he could talk about this, probably an elderly woman. She treated me like a son. I was to her as a son, and she was to me like a mother. And they would have shared something, and Paul maybe would have said, now, tell me what your husband, who possibly may have passed away by now, tell me what happened on that day. And they would have filled out the details, the wonderful, glorious details. And Paul would have been struck again with the wonders and majesty of the cross, and what a privilege it is to be crucified for Christ. Yet nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ who lives in me. But there's just a little bit more as well, because I think that Simon did not keep it just to his household. Maybe he was an influential man in Cyrene, and he would have talked to others that he knew, his friends, maybe his business associates. It doesn't actually say what kind of living he did. But if we again go back into Acts, well, we haven't gone into Acts yet, but let's go into Acts. As I said, on the day of Pentecost, there were people from Cyrene there. And if we go into Acts chapter 11. Is it chapter 11? Yes, it is. This is when there was a persecution, they were scattered abroad, and some people went as far as Antioch. I'm looking at verse 19, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus, where Barnabas came from, and Cyrene, How did they hear about the gospel? What were they doing there? Which, when they came to Antioch, they did not just speak to the Jews, they started to speak to the Gentiles. They got a vision of what this gospel was about. But how did they know? Where did they hear this from? Again, I'm speculating, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Simon would have returned home and said, you've got to remember this name, Jesus. Because he is more than just a one-off criminal. He's more than just a one-off teacher that was crucified on a particular day in Jerusalem. He's far, far more than that. He looked at me. I looked at him and I knew that there was something deep about this man. And maybe some of them heard it. And maybe they heard the gospel from another person as well, or from another source. And it confirmed what Simon said. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and so full of desire. Some of the things we were singing a little earlier, you know, happy with my latest breath, I might declare his name. And somehow they found themselves in Antioch, not just preaching to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And as we know from reading the book of Acts, is that Antioch became a center for sending out the gospel. But there's one more reference to Cyrene. Chapter 13. There were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And it gives us a list. And they minister to the Lord in verse 2. And as they minister, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work for which I have called them. But let's, without going into any details, look at these names. First is Barnabas. Simeon, who was called Niger, almost certainly a black African. And the next one, Lucius of where? Cyrene. How did he end up there? What was he doing? Had he listened to the story that Simon had told and said, I need to find out more about this man? And this man ended up in Antioch. And because of his zeal for the Lord and the fact that Simon emphasized the carrying of the cross, this man carried a cross and he became a leader in the church in Antioch that ministered to the Lord. And as they ministered, God spoke. Could it be that Lucius was the mouthpiece? We have no idea. I don't want to speculate too far and stretch it beyond reason. But all this came as a result of bearing the cross. Now, what about us? If we would bear our cross in the way that it should be borne, who knows who we will influence and what lives we may touch as we walk through life, whether we're in the Wirral or about to go to India or if we've come from Thailand or wherever we have been, whether we've been to Romania, the lives that we touch, if we carry the cross in the right way, people will see it, they'll hear it, they'll know it, and they'll think, there's something there which I need to discover more about. Simon of Cyrene, he listened according to his name. Probably Jesus never said a word, but they exchanged a look. But he wanted to find out more, and he would have listened when someone explained. He came from Cyrene, which, as I said before, means Lord. But he came under a new Lord, and his life utterly, utterly changed. He shared it with his sons. He shared it with his wife. His cross bearing so hard, such a disgrace. It brings us to God. Keeps us to follow in his steps. It takes us from dishonour into honour. And who knows whether Simon had a little scratch. And he said, look, do you see this scratch? That's what happened on that day. And I'm glad it did, because it changed my life right around. Mark chapter 8, I'm just going to finish with this. Verse 34, when Jesus called the people to him with his disciples, he said to them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And I think Simon's life, he would have lost it on that day, but he found it. And what was bitter to him became the sweetest thing in all the memory of his life. Let's not shun the cross. The cross is absolutely central to the gospel. And the Lord wants people to take up their cross and follow him, and to know the wonder, the joy, the privilege, the honour. And through it, there is a means whereby the Lord can use it to touch the lives of others. What a wonderful thought. Let's just pray. And if someone wants to pray or anything, please. We're not going to prolong the meeting, but let's just open our hearts to him.